All right, I want to read a couple more verses from where we left off. If you still have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 14, I want to read verses 28 down through 32. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he, Jesus, said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. This morning my sermon is based on the song, "Love Lifted Me." I was thinking about that song yesterday. It was running through my mind. And I thought about this passage of Scripture that I'd been considering for several weeks now. Let me just remind you of what went on earlier in chapter 14. It was a big day for Jesus and his disciples. They had fed 5,000 men, besides women and children. And so if it was like most Baptist gatherings, there would be twice as many women and children as there were men. So there'd probably be 10,000 women and children, so 15,000 altogether. And Jesus had taken five little loaves of bread and two small fish that in other parts of the Scripture it says that a young lad had brought for his lunch. And Andrew had found him, and that little boy shared his lunch with Jesus, and he blessed the bread and blessed the fish, had his disciples pass it out. And the Bible says everybody there, all 15,000 of them, if there were that many, ate all that they wanted. They were filled. And then they took up 12 baskets of leftovers. And then Jesus said, "I'll send the crowd away. You guys get into the ship and head home," head toward Capernaum. And Jesus did that. The disciples got in the ship, headed toward home. Jesus sent away the crowd, and then he went up into a mountain to pray. We read about the disciples on that ship in the middle of the sea, and a storm comes up. The Bible says they were tossed with the waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, which was early, early in the morning, Jesus comes to them walking on the water. Now they look out and see him. It's still dark. The storm's going on, and they see what they think is a spirit, is a ghost. Who else would be walking on the water? Who else could walk on the water besides a spirit or a ghost? And so they were troubled, and they cried out in fear. And we look back at them and say, well, why would they do that? Well, you'd probably do the same thing. If you were on a little sailboat in the middle of a sea, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the night, and you looked out and you saw this figure walking toward you on the water, you would think it was a ghost as well, and you would probably have something to say about it. And Jesus cries out, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." When the storms of life hit, we don't have to be afraid, because Jesus is there. He promises to never leave us or forsake us. He never promises to keep us from the storms, but he always promises to go with us through the storms. And like we were talking about in Sunday school, it's in the storms of life that we see clearly his care and his power and his love. So Peter, as the leader of the disciples, as the one that was always speaking up, the impetuous one, sometimes he spoke up before he thought about it. He said, "Lord, if it's really you, bid me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Okay, come on." And so Peter gets out of the ship and he starts walking on the water going to Jesus. Then it says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hands and caught him." Now, we read that story. What a wonderful story it is. And again, it was a big day. It was a big day for Jesus and his disciples. They had fed the 5,000, a lot of work for the disciples. And so they were not only excited, but they were tired. They get into a ship to go home. The storm comes up. They see what they think is a ghost. It's really Jesus. And Peter says, "If it's really you, let me come to you." And Jesus says, "Come on." Now, I want you to notice seven things. I have a 7-point message this morning, times two. So I have 14 points. So you got to listen quickly. Peter stayed on top as long as he kept his eyes on Christ. But when he took his eyes off Jesus and put them on himself, he saw those things about him. He saw the storms. He saw the waves. As long as he was looking at Jesus, he had faith that he could walk on the water. But here's what I think happened. Peter got to thinking, look at me. I'm the only disciple out here. I mean, Andrew, my brother, is still in the boat. James and John, my partners. Matthew's still in there. I mean, the rest of the disciples, they're still in there. Jesus would have given them permission to walk on water. Look at me. I must be something special. I think he got a little swelled head. I think he got a little pride in himself. And the Bible says that pride goeth before a fall. And when he got to thinking about himself, he took his eyes off Jesus. He noticed the storm. He noticed the wind. He noticed the waves that were really high. And he said to himself, what am I doing out here? I can't walk on water. The Bible says, number two, he began to sink. Have any of you ever sank? Do you sink in slow motion? No. If you don't have a life preserver on, you don't sink in slow motion. When you sink quickly. When I was a teenager, I went to a quarry filled up with water with some of my friends. And it wasn't a gradual descent. When you stepped off the side into that quarry, it was deep, probably 30 or 40 feet. I got out into the middle of that, and I lost my inner tube. I didn't know how to swim at that point. I began to sink. I mean, I didn't go down slowly. I went down quickly. And if I hadn't had a friend close to me that gave me the inner tube, I wouldn't be here today. So Peter began to sink. It wasn't a gradual sink. It was a fast sink. He was sinking. Number three, he cried out. He was in trouble. I don't know if he could swim. You would think a fisherman would be able to swim. I don't know if he could swim or not. Even if he could, it was in the middle of the sea. A storm was the wind was blowing. The waves were high. You know, I've often heard people say, well, when you face death, your life passes before you. My life didn't pass before me when I started to drown. I don't know if Peter's life passed before him when he started to drown. All he knew that he was sinking. He was going under. He did what any of us would do in that same situation. He cried out. He cried out, help, help. No, he didn't say that. Here's what he says. Lord, notice who he cried to, number four. It wasn't to Andrew, his brother, who was in the boat. He didn't say, Andrew, throw me a line, I'm going under. He didn't cry out to James and John, his partners. Hey, throw me a tube or something, throw me a line. He didn't cry out to the other disciples. He cried out to the only one that he knew could help him. The one that was closest to him. The one who was walking on water that he was walking toward. He cried out to the master of the sea, the one that would say, before this night was over, peace be still, and the waves and wind was calm. He cried to the one that he had confessed earlier, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He cried out, Lord, and then he cried out, save me. He didn't say help. He said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. A short cry, to the point. I'm sinking. I'm going to die. Save me. Save me from going under. Save me from my lungs filling up with water. Save me from not being able to breathe. Save me from dying. He didn't reason with Jesus. He didn't argue with Jesus, try to convince Jesus that he was worthy of saving. He just said, save me. Lord, save me. And notice what happened. Number six, immediately, Jesus didn't wait. He didn't say, well, I'm going to let him go under for a little bit to know that I'm really saving him. I'm going to let him think that he's dying for a little bit so he knows I'm really... No. Jesus didn't wait a minute. He didn't wait a second. Peter didn't need help a minute from now. He needed help right now. Again, he wasn't sinking in slow motion. He was sinking like a rock. He was going under. He needed help now. He needed help immediately. And the Bible says that immediately... Jesus, number seven, stretched forth his hand and caught him. Amen. Caught him. He didn't throw him a line and said, hey, Peter, hang on to this. He didn't reach out his hand and say, "Hey, Peter, just grab a hold of my hand and I'll lift you up." He reached out and grabbed a hold of Peter's hand and pulled him up out of the water and pulled him to safety. And the two of them walked on water back to the ship. And the Bible says that when they got in the ship, the waves ceased. There was a calm. Now, if you read that story, you know, I don't know why they don't make more movies out of Bible stories. This would make an exciting story for anybody to see. I don't know why they got to make stuff up when they have so many good stories they can make movies out of. But this was a wonderful story. It was a wonderful lesson to Peter and a wonderful lesson to the rest of the disciples. By the way, they were probably back in the boat. I can just hear them talking. You know, they were just people like us. We knew that Peter would get in trouble when he got out of the boat in the first place. He's always trying to do something that he shouldn't be doing. Now, the fact is, none of them got out. None of them had enough faith to stick their big toe in the water, let alone try to walk on it. Peter was the one that showed some faith when he got out of the boat to go to Jesus. And again, as long as he has his eye on Jesus, he was okay. But again, a wonderful story, a wonderful lesson to Peter, a wonderful lesson to the rest of the disciples, and a wonderful picture to us about salvation. A wonderful picture to us about salvation. Let me just paint that picture for you as I make my second 7 points, okay? We, in our human pride, say, "I don't need God. I don't need the Bible. I can live my life without God. I can live my life all by myself. I can face eternity all by myself. Doesn't matter what the Bible says. Doesn't matter what the church says. I'll find my own way. I'll travel my own path." Jesus said one time, "Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go on thereat." Life is not a sail on a smooth sea. Most people, if not all people, find that sometime in life the storms come up. And then comes eternity. Then comes forever. And when we go out into eternity, when we face eternity, and again, not like Denise faced eternity. She told Lynn and Joel that she was ready to go. She was ready to meet her God. But when people ignore God, and when people say, I don't need God, I can live life on my own, they begin to sink in their sin. Sin, we sing that song, "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore." Those that don't know Christ, that's what's happening to them figuratively. They're sinking in their sin. You say, "Well, preacher, how do you know that? How do you know I'm a sinner?" Well, I don't know from observation that you're a sinner, but I do know from what the Bible says. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Now that word "all" includes you. That word "all" includes me. When it says not one have that every person has come short of the glory of God, that includes all of us. We're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. And at some point in our life, we realized that we were sinking in sin. And there was nothing that we could do to pull ourselves up. None of our righteousness was any good. Bible says that our righteousness in God's sight are as filthy rags. We are stained with sin. The book of Isaiah says that our skins are scarlet, red like crimson. And we are sinking into sin like quicksand. No hope of ever rising out of that sin. No hope of ever paying for that sin. No hope of getting that sin forgiven. Left to ourselves, we're going to die. We're going to go out into eternity apart from Christ. We're going to go to that place called hell. And so we try to live life without God. We begin to sink in sin. And if you have any sense about you at all, you'll realize what's happening and you'll cry. You'll cry out just like Peter did. "I'm in trouble. I'm going down. I'm dying. I'm headed for hell. I have no hope. I have no help. Why? And again, if you have any sense at all, you'll realize where you're headed as you're sinking in your sin, and you'll cry out. And I'll tell you who you're going to cry out to in just a minute. But you'll see yourself sinking in that sin, never to rise anymore, in trouble with no hope, no help. Why wouldn't you cry out? Why would you sink in that sin when there's a help? Why would you sink under the water when there's a help? Why would you sink and go to hell when there's a help, when all you got to do is cry out? But you got to cry out to the same person that Peter did. You got to cry out to the Lord. It doesn't do any good to cry out to mom and dad. They can't help you. It doesn't do any good to cry out to grandpa and grandma. They can't help you. It doesn't do any good to cry out to the church, or to cry out to baptism, or to cry out to communion. None of those things can help you. Don't cry out to the Baptists. They can't help you. Don't cry out to the Methodists or the Presbyterians. They can't help you. You need to cry out to the same person that Peter cried out to that night. You need to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I don't know if he's close to me like he was to Peter. Oh yeah, he was there. He was there. Some of our singers sing that song. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. He was there all the time. If you're a sinner here this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ is near. He's waiting to hear your cry. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Don't cry out to anybody else. Nobody else can help you. If you see yourself sinking in sin, and by the way, if you're here without Jesus Christ, that's your condition this morning. You're sinking in sin. You're headed for hell. Like John says, life is not a game. It's real. At some point, you're going to face death. And it may come after a long sickness. It may come when you're an old person. But death can come to any person at any time. Amen. You don't have to be sick to die. You don't have to be old to die. Death is no respecter of persons. A person can die at any time, at any age, under any circumstance. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you leave this world, you are sinking in sin, you are sinking to hell, and there is no escape from that place called hell. You will be there forever and ever. So what do you need to cry out? You don't need to say a fancy prayer. You need to say the same prayer that Peter said. Lord, save me. Amen. Save me. Peter didn't have to reason with God. Neither do sinners have to reason with God. Peter didn't have to beg God. Neither do sinners have to beg God. Sometimes we think we do. Sometimes we're so deep in our sin that we think God can never save a sinner like me. And we think that if we beg God that maybe he'll overlook our sin. You don't have to beg God. God is waiting. He's waiting. Just like he was standing, I think, right beside Peter, so that when Peter cried out, he could reach down and grab his hand before he went all the way under. I think God waits around us. Jesus waits around us. For us to realize that we're a sinner and we have no hope on our own. And when we cry out, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. I'm sinking in sin. I can't help myself. But Jesus, I believe that you can help me, that you can save me. I believe immediately, Jesus is near enough. He didn't throw us a line and said, grab hold. He doesn't reach out his hand and say, grab hold. He reaches down and takes our hand. Immediately, not 5 minutes from now, not 1 hour from now, not tomorrow, not the next day. Salvation is not a process. It happens instantaneously. Sanctification, learning to live for God, is a process. But justification, where we're made just as if we're never sinned, our salvation happens immediately when we, as a sinner, cry out to Jesus. And he reaches down and grabs us by the hand, catches us, and pulls us out of that sin, and sets us on the rock. Amen. You see, all you need to do is cry out. Jesus does the rest. He stretched out his hands on Calvary and paid the price for every person's sin. He died in our place. He did everything that was needed to be done. And when he said from the cross, "It is finished," it is finished, the price was paid. And so if you're here this morning and you've never cried out to Jesus, it's not too late. God's given you this opportunity. Now, I can't guarantee you'll have another one. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to be honest with you. Nobody can guarantee you that you'll have another opportunity to hear the gospel and to get saved. You may have many more opportunities, or this may be your very last one. Let me share my testimony with you this morning. It goes like this. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Hey, I'm a sinner this morning, but I'm a saved sinner. I was sinking, but I ain't sinking no more. My feet are firmly planted on the rock of my salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that's true of every single person in the room. But if it's not, here's my appeal this morning. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be. Be saved today. Would you? Would you? The chorus of that song goes, "Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else can help, love lifted me." And sometimes we substitute the word Christ when we sing it. And we sing, "Christ lifted me. Christ lifted me. When nothing else could help, Christ lifted me." Sing it with me. "Christ lifted me. Christ lifted me. When nothing else could help, Christ lifted me." He did. He did for scores of people in this room this morning. He lifted us out of that sin. He saved us from that sin. He made us right with God. I can't think of a better day than today for you to let him do that to you. If you're here without Christ, you're sinking in sin. You're headed for hell. Again, this may be the last opportunity that you have to receive Christ. Please don't let it go by. Please don't let it go by. If you need to come to Jesus this morning, you come. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this story about Peter. Sometimes we criticize him because he began to sink, but Father, most of us would be like the other disciples. We wouldn't even get out of the boat. But what a wonderful picture you paint for us. He began to sink. He cried out to Jesus for help, and Jesus pulled him out of the water and put him in a safe place. I pray this morning for every person that's here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. Help them to see, to picture themselves sinking in sin. Help them to see that the only one they can cry out to is the Lord Jesus Christ. But if they cry out to him, he'll reach down and grab them. Set them on the rock, make them right with you, forgive their sins, make them one of your children. And so I pray for every person here that's never received Christ. Help them that whatever has stood in their way up till this point, help them to put that aside. Help them to come with faith that you've given them this morning and receive Jesus as their Savior. They're a sinner. They need a Savior. Jesus is the only one that would work. And so I pray that you'd help them come during this time of invitation. We'll take the Bible and we'll show them from the Bible.
ought to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Just bless this time. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.